A month ago, when Paul asked us to turn to our pew neighbor and share one word that described us, the word that came to mind for me was relational. Relationships are the lens through which I view my daily experiences, and relational was a word that kept popping to mind as I read this week's gospel. After 5 weeks of reading about bread in John, the lectionary seems to take an abrupt turn to Mark. Mark begins with the Pharisees and scribes who have traveled far from Jerusalem, gathering around Jesus. I picture some slightly road-weary wise men in cool robes with long beards circling up for a good sparring. The Pharisees accuse Jesus' disciples of eating with defiled or unwashed hands, a big taboo at the time. Jesus has a lot to say in his response to the Pharisees and scribes, and his disciples and crowd who are also present. Very little of it is easy to hear or understand quickly. Jesus tells them they are too wed to human tradition rather than leading godly lives. He turns the definition of defilement upside down. It is not what goes into our bodies, but rather what we produce from our hearts that matters. It is our intentions that matter. In one of the verses omitted by those who set up the lectionary, Jesus' disciples ask for clarity on what Jesus means or state that they do not understand, depending on the translation. Jesus elucidates. He names many possible wrongdoings that could stem from a defiled heart. There's a lot of subtext. There's a lot of baggage, and there's a lot of feistiness in the air. And there are also many layers of this story. As I read and wondered, the layer of the community and their relationships nudged my imagination. Jesus continually shares his teaching and parables within communities. Aside from times for prayer, he surrounds himself with people, those who agree with him, those who do not agree with him, those who occasionally get it, and those who he knows will betray him. Jesus keeps even those who will betray him by his side, never telling them to go and live their life of faith alone. In the past several weeks, we've heard Jesus' disciples question his meaning, feel terror as he walks on water, and amazement as he feeds massive crowds. And we've heard them pledge their loyalty to him. They have run the gamut of emotions together. Even in the more terrifying times, they tenaciously stay by Jesus' side and work hard to understand their sometimes enigmatic leader's meaning. Mark's passage today lists a lot of unadmirable qualities that grow from an undefiled heart. But in many ways, the disciples' presence and community trying to grasp and live these teachings is most important, even when the foundation feels a little uncertain. This week, when Jesus' disciples ask for clarity, I want to raise my hand and say, "Me too, what do you mean, Jesus?" I often find that I identify with Jesus' disciples, especially their doubts, especially their questions, stumbling along with their faith community. About 20 years ago, I was a teen. I found my home in the Episcopal Church. Through a friend, I wound up at a youth event with St. Stephen's Edina. The youth leader and the Episcopal Church passed my 3-point quiz on the bus ride home from Valley Fair. "Do you have to confess to a priest?" "No." "How do you feel about women's leadership?" "It's encouraged." "RGLBT people welcome?" "Yes." And the thing that struck me about her answers was that she gave me honest answers rather than the adults know best I had heard in my previous faith community. I was in. That was the day that I truly owned my faith and began to walk with a faith community. And here's the thing. I had no idea what I was in for. I did not know the span, the joy, and challenge of the journey I was beginning. A few years later, within that community, I began dodging the question of ordination of the priesthood. A good friend's mother suggested it after I gave a sermon where I peeled off layers of snazzy thrift store clothing to illustrate a point I no longer remember. Since then, my dad, clergy, my congregation, wherever I was, and others began to suggest ordination. Yet until 3 years ago, I only responded to the suggestion with a smile. I don't like tight clothing around my neck. Really, my resistance stemmed from listening to my internal voices in conflict with the external voices of those around me. Not engaging the question of priesthood was a result of listening to the voices of doubt and selfishness. Those voices said things like, "He won't be any good," or "You don't know enough," or "This path is too hard." Those voices caused me to turn inward, away from the holy and my community. If it were not for my community and the Spirit correcting, guiding, and deepening my understanding, asking the right questions, persistently nudging, saying, "I don't think you're listening," I would not be standing here before you as a transitional deacon. Engaging the questions humbled me and reminded me how valuable the voices of community are. And I wondered how our sacred stories illuminate my life. Because of the people who walk this journey with me, I have had to revisit and reclaim my call to accompany people on their faith journeys, wrestling with the hard questions of life through ordinary and extraordinary times, including being present in the sacraments. This is what faith formation looks like for me. Grounding ourselves in community and together opening ourselves with wonder to where the Bible, our sacred stories, speak to our lives. Formation is lovingly helping each other find where our gifts intersect with God's needs in the world. And it is being open to questions, doubts, revelation, and holy mystery. It is not always easy. It is sometimes uncomfortable. It is always holy. Formation and community looks different in everyone's lives. Maybe yours is in your church friends, or your book group, your family, or your neighbors. Maybe it's as you ride the same bus route every day. Whatever it may be, that diversity is beautiful. My example is merely one of many stories happening right now in our faith community. I wonder what your faith community looks like. I wonder what steps they are encouraging you to take. And I am especially looking forward to exploring what family formation looks like with St. Mark's members. Caroline Lewis, a professor from Luther, writes about this week's gospel. What's the good news for this week? All of these texts articulate how hard it is to live what we believe, to speak our truth, to be willing to bring forth in our words and our actions what is in our hearts. And how hard it is to hear that what others hear from us does not seem to be us. That's why you need people around you who will tell you the truth when they see a disconnect between who you are and what you say and do. Mark's gospel illustrates how hard it can be at times to live a life of faith and how uncomfortable it can be to walk alongside Jesus. Jesus and his disciples also demonstrate that we don't walk this journey alone. We come to this table together, and in that is the good news.